Welcome to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast, a deep dive into biblical leadership with pastor and author, Dr. Gerald Brooks.
Hi, this is Gerald Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. If I can mention one thing, I am so excited. In just a few days, we will be hosting our 2023 North Texas Leadership Conference. We have pastors and leaders coming from everywhere. It is going to be one of the most dynamic rooms you have ever been in. And I want to invite you that you can still come. We have limited registrations that are available at the door. And as I say repeatedly, being in the room is the game changer. We need you in the room. As I've said many times, when you listen to something, you add to your life. So there is a profit there. But when you're in the room, you multiply your life. And you get in a room with literally leaders who are passionate about growth. You are going to create a growth atmosphere that is going to be explosive in what it does. So all that being said, I just want to invite you. It's October 19th and 20th. Come and be a part of that. And then on November 2nd, I will be in New Braunfels, Texas at Don Duncan's church. He's a great, great friend of mine. And we will be doing at that particular conference personal growth for a leader. It is a personal growth roundtable. We will delve into information on how you can get better at being you. And what I found is anytime I get better, everyone around me gets better. Anytime I get better, you find that the organization gets better. You can go to my website, GeraldBrooksMinistries.com, and you can sign up. Today, I want to talk to you about the personal side of leadership. I want to walk you through some things that just on the personal side, you're going to have to wrap your arms around. You're going to have to begin to think through, and you're going to have to begin to articulate just the personal side of leadership. The first one is the pace of leadership, Everybody who leads has to determine the pace of leadership. What is the pace that you walk, that you can sustain, that you can get others to walk with you, and they can sustain so that you are moving forward to achieve a purpose and to be able to accomplish God's destiny? In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Now, that verse is just so full of thought, but I just want to look at two. What it refers to is that life requires varying speeds at varying times. So there are times when you've got to run, and you've got to run, and you have to run hard. And then there are times when you need to walk. And you need to just walk at a leisurely pace. Well, as a leader, you have to distinguish for you, for others, and your organization. When are you going to walk and when are you going to run? How far can you run and how much should you walk? You have to be able to determine the pace of the organization. And really what I found in hiring is a lot of people just have this great opportunity that they have all the gifting, but if they can't match the pace that you operate on and the pace that the organization operates on, if you're too slow for them or too fast for them, they're not going to work. And so one of the things I've had to learn is how do I interview people and understand the pace that they can run at? Now, what I tell everybody when it comes to these pace moments and leadership is everyone's going to have to run at some time, and everyone's going to have to walk at some time. But you can't be walking when everyone else in the organization is running, and you can't be running when everyone else is walking. You've got to determine the pace. And it's not only determining the pace, but determining a pace that you can sustain at. Interesting within the story of Jacob in the Old Testament is also an encounter that he's going to have when he's reunited with his brother Esau. And as he's reunited with his brother Esau, they're heading back to their home country. And as they're headed back to their home country, Jacob looks and he says to Esau, he said, "The children nor the animals will be able to sustain this pace." He said, the pace that we're going at is not a workable pace. We're going to kill all the animals we have. The kids are not going to be able to do it. And so he began to recognize that the pace was unrealistic. As a leader, you have to be able to understand that there are times when the pace is unrealistic. And there are times when the pace is going to not help you get ahead, but as in Jacob's case, it could do some damage. And so the pace, can you sustain it? On the personal side, you've got to ask the pace question. What is the right pace? What is the right pace for this period of time? When do we need to up the pace? When do we need to down the pace? But what is the pace that the organization can operate, be efficient, be effective, knowing that there are times when life just requires that we are in an all-out run. But you can't always be in an all-out run. So the personal side of leadership, number one is the pace. Can you sustain it? Number two is problems. Can you survive them? Problems. The nature of leadership is that problems are what come your way. You get handed your problems, you get handed other people's problems, and you get handed organizational problems. And so one of the things that a leader is never going to have a shortage of is going to be problems. The nature is that leadership is about problem resolution. Can you resolve problems? Now, I've always said you can determine the level of a leader by the size of the problems that they're given. So when I look at some people and they're given problems that look, wow, that is a major problem, I know if they're always being given major problems, then they are a great leader. You don't get problems handed to you that you are not adequate and being able to resolve. And when people give you their biggest problems, they're saying to you, you're the biggest leader that they know. When they give you their most serious problems, they're making a statement about your leadership level. And so if I want to determine a leader's level, I don't look at what they tell me. I look at the problems that people give them, because the size of the problem determines the level of your leadership. Now, the other part of this is you have to survive problems. When problems come, you've got to be able to say, okay, we're going to look at this problem. We're going to manage this problem. We are going to begin to resolve this problem. And one of the things that you have to learn is that problems don't come just in once, sometimes several of them. And that in of itself is its own problem-solving skill. I remember when my son was taking Taekwondo, they did all these fascinating training mechanisms. But there was one class where three other students were going to attack my son at one time because they were trying to train him. What do you do if you're jumped by several people at once? And of course, every one of the kids, when they're put in this situation, they're doing their best to try to fight their way through it. But at the same time, it's an unrealistic mismatch. But then the instructor made a statement to my son. He said, when three people come at you, you always attack the one that's closest to you. You always attack the one that's closest to you. And what was he saying? You may have three problems, but there's one problem that is the next problem. And when you handle the next problem, you then say, okay, what is the next one? And so you always try to prioritize the problems. What do I have to resolve? What do I have to solve? How do I resolve it? How do I solve it? What is next? What is the next problem? Most of us are not going to be able to handle five problems at one time, but we can take five problems and divide them into different schedules and say, I'm going to attack this problem, I'm going to attack this problem, I'm going to attack this problem, I'm going to take this problem. See, more problems just means you have to be more strategic. And the more strategic you are, all of a sudden having five problems isn't overwhelming because you say, okay, I'm going to focus on this one. I'm not focusing on five at the same time. I'm focusing on this one. Have you ever wondered in the olden days when they used to have the circus and the lion master would get in with the lion and he would hold up the little stool there? And he would hold it up between him and usually had a whip or something like that. And I'm not even sure if they allow them to do that anymore today. But the reason they handed up the stool was the stool had three legs. And they said one of the things, three legs, was disorienting to the visual of the tiger. They were trying to look at the three things all at the same time. And they said visually, it made them ineffective. So by looking at the legs, they weren't looking at the lion master. Because if they ever looked at the lion master is no match for the lion. And what I want to say to you is, when you have multiple problems, you've got to manage them by not losing focus. And so you say, this is the problem I have to solve. This is the problem that's next to solve. This is the problem. And even though they're all screaming at the same time, you dissect them and say, okay, we're going to resolve this. Because many times when you resolve one, it resolves another one for you. And so you got to ask yourself, can I survive them? Can I survive problems? And so on the personal side, you've got that pace question. Can I sustain it? But the problem question, can you survive it? And so you've got to be able to navigate the problem equation. Can I do that? Number three is this. It is the people. On the personal side, you're not going to lead unless you're leading people. Now, you always lead you, but you're still going to have to lead people. And people management is a part of the leadership equation. People management is a part of the leadership equation. Can you manage them? Can you manage them? Can you manage the leadership moment when people are coming your way? See, you have to be able to coalesce. And what you have to be able to do is to take people and to help them find their best. That's one part of management. Everyone has a best. How do I get you at your best, working with this person at their best, so that we can achieve our best? So your job is to manage people's best. Many times that means you've got to know them more than they know themselves. So I look at my team and I say, well, this is my team's best. And it's not only that this is my team's best, but to get to my team's best, I've got to look at each one of the team members and say, what is their best? And then I have to say, okay, when is their best? Because some people are better at one time than another. So you say, what is their best? And when is their best? And then you ask, how do I get them to do their best when they're at the best with other people so we can achieve the best? People management. Can you manage them? So the personal side of leadership, the pace, can you survive it? Problems, can you work through them? People, can you manage them? But then priorities, that's number four. Can you stay focused on them? There are so many things that come at people nowadays. They come from so many different places. They come from so many different arenas. And Things are literally being thrown at you. But in the midst of things being thrown, you're going to have to determine, what can you juggle? And one of the things that you have to learn is, what shouldn't you juggle? There's some things we don't juggle. I just got out of a staff meeting, and we were reminding ourselves a basic principle of what we do. We make heaven bigger, and we make the kingdom of God better. We make heaven bigger and the kingdom of God better. We have a whole lot of questions because of things going on in the world right now. But those are questions that are honestly beyond our pay grade. Only God's going to be able to answer them. But what we need to do is, we need to be able to say, hey, I want you to be able to stay focused on what's important. Don't let the unimportant stop you from doing the important. Reminds me of the story of a lady who looks out the backyard and sees her husband playing catch with the kids. But there was some grass out there, and she had been trying to grow it. And she says to her husband, "Get off the grass." And he just looks at her and smiles, says, "We're not trying to raise grass. We're trying to raise kids." See, having a nice grass yard is nothing compared to a dad playing catch with their kids. Never let the unimportant get in the way of the important. So there is the pace equation. Can you sustain it? The problems, can you survive them? The people, can you manage them? But the priorities, can you stay focused on them? 5, pain. Can you recover from it? Can you recover from it? The nature of leadership is this: hurting people hurt people. And if you're going to manage people, at times, there are going to be people that are hurting. And when people are hurting, what they're going to do is that they, at times, will hurt you. And sometimes life's hurting you. Sometimes your family's hurting you. But then you go to work and people are hurting you. Can you overcome the pain? Years ago, I wrote a book, and the book was called Understanding Your Pain Threshold. I wrote this decades ago, and in there, it was just the basic premise that pain management of ministry, of leadership, is one of the must, because you're going to feel pain, you're going to be given pain, you're going to have to respond to pain, and how do you do it? So that's what this book was about. But then I got asked this question: how do you grow your pain threshold? And then I went and I wrote a little simple chapter on growing your pain threshold. And then I was asked the question, well, what do you do when your wife's in pain and you're not, or you're in pain and they're not? And I wrote another chapter on understanding your family's pain threshold. Because if I go home and Jenny's in pain, me not being in pain doesn't matter. Her pain has to be managed for me to lead. And so what do you do when the pain thresholds are different? What do you do when the causes of the pain threshold are different? So this little book, Understanding Your Pain Threshold, was just dealing with the aspect that on the personal side, you're going to get to say, ouch. You're going to get to say, hey, man, I just experienced something that I wished I hadn't experienced, and pain's going to come. So the personal side of leadership, the pace, can you sustain it? The problems, can you survive them? The people, can you manage them? The priorities, can you stay focused on them? And the pain, can you overcome it? But that leads us to 6, the price. Can you keep paying it? See, every level of leadership, the price goes up. And what that means is you have to grow. You don't get new levels of leadership with old levels of commitment. I watch people who want to talk leadership, who do not want to pay the price for leadership. Because when you pay the price for leadership, it's going to be a price that feels more expensive. As I've mentioned here recently, the longer you go in leadership, the price is cheapest on the front end. It gets more expensive on the back end because all the easy things have been accomplished. Now you're dealing with hard things. And the hard things are those moments when you've got to dig deep and allow the deepness of what you are as a person and pay the price for God to change you. So the price, can you keep paying it? A lot of people want new levels of leadership, but they want it at a discounted cost. And a discounted cost does not work. You have to pay the leadership price every level that you go. I've done this for 46 years. I'm paying a greater price today to lead than I've ever been. So, the personal side of leadership, the pace, the problems, the people, the priorities, the pain, the price. But that leads us to 7, presence. Can you stay in it? If you're going to lead, and you're going to lead with biblical values, then you're going to have to stay in His presence. You're going to have to take the complexity of life, you're going to have to take the compression of time, and you're going to have to figure out how to stay in God's presence. I am more conscious of God's presence today. Why? Because the things I'm asked to do are impossible for me. And it's what Paul said in the book of Acts, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. I can't do anything without Him. It's what is said in Colossians. Our lives are hid in Christ. His presence isn't optional to me. For me to do anything I'm doing, I need His presence in my life. So can I stay in it? Can I learn to abide in His presence? Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you stick to me, if you stay close to me. See, a part of the personal side is everything that I've set up to now. If you can't do 7, the other 6 are going to get the best of you. You've got to figure out God's presence in your life. So the personal side of leadership, the pace, can you sustain it? The problems, can you survive them? The people, can you manage them? The priorities, can you stay focused on them? The pain, can you overcome it? The price, can you keep paying it? And God's presence, can you stay in it? This is the personal side. I'd probably encourage you to take a moment. Take out whatever your writing format is. Go through each one of these and see where you might struggle. The pace, is it getting to you? The problems, the people, the priorities, the pain, the price, the presence. I want to say to you, these are what make a leader. They're simple. They're not hard to grasp. They're just hard to live. And I just want to encourage you that you would look these over and see how you can master them in your life. Again, I want to remind you, in a few days, we're doing our North Texas leadership. It is a fabulous opportunity to learn and grow. If you'll come, I think you will find it will be a dramatic moment in your life. On November 2nd, personal growth. Everything that I said in this lesson requires personal growth. If you want to learn how to be better at you, this is the conference. You can go to my webpage and you can sign up there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast. If you'd like more information on Dr. Brooks's books, audio, or speaking engagements, please go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com.